It's Friday, July 15th. You're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Welcome to the show, everyone. We got a great one for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Todd Cochran, the host of the Geek News Central podcast. And yes, it's time for another great show. Hello, everyone. And aloha to my big family out there. And thanks for downloading and staying subscribed. Hey, what a week. It's been a terrific, beautiful week here in Hawaii. And it's actually been a full podcasting week. Some of you may have caught the special show that we put up yesterday. It basically was a podcast demo show for some people here in the local community. Some of you may have tuned out immediately. I did get some feedback that some of you had caught it and did listen all the way through. We'll talk a little bit about that more later. But if you're listening to the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and please check out all the great content on the site, and also click on the archive button to check out the older shows and the older in the archives, and make sure that you subscribe to our mailing list so that you keep up to date on what is happening here at the at Geek News Central. Hey, wow! It started off. We did the release the show obviously Tuesday morning. I had a very short night in bed. Actually, I think I got about 3 hours sleep. Had to get up very early to get around, and I got out the door, made it over to the television station, and went on live and had about 5 minutes of question answer with the host at KHON. That was a lot of fun. Came back to the house, took a care of a few things here, and then went over to the University of Phoenix and did what's called a brown bag seminar, where they basically allow the community to come in, and they have featured speakers once a week, and I was a featured speaker, and hence the special podcast this week. But it was about an hour, and I think the podcast ended up being about 45 minutes, so you all heard that, those of you that listened in, and we learned a few things on there, including some changes we're going to make to our mobile setup. I know some of you had commented that you were having a hard time hearing the questions that were being asked. And what I'm going to do next time is, I had a mic set up, but people didn't want to come up and actually speak in the mic. For some reason, that's a little intimidating, but I'll make sure that I repeat the questions next time we do something like that. Hey, the podcastawards.com is, voting is going to be getting underway today. I did find a little glitch in the voting engine this evening, and I was getting ready to turn it on live, and it was kind of funny. Well, it actually isn't funny. I woke the developer up at 2:30 in the morning and basically saying, "Hey, there's a problem. I can't switch this site over to voting." And he had been up until about 1:30. So I was on his popularity list, but I was a little bit of a mild panic. But I said, "Okay, we'll just get up in the morning, get the issue fixed, and then we'll turn this site on at noon tomorrow versus midnight tonight." And basically what happened was, is I'd done all the testing in Firefox. I'd actually had the site up in the Mac and used Firefox and the Mac and Safari, and everything worked good. And I said, I better check Internet Explorer. And I loaded an Internet Explorer on the PC and went over to the site and clicked on the test area. And I clicked on one of the voting tabs, and it says, you're not voting locally. You cannot do this. And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm on the site. So what essentially would have happened is those that were using Internet Explorer would not have been able to vote. So it's part of our security mechanisms that we have set to make sure people don't cheat. So basically what's going to happen. He's going to fix that error in the morning. And as soon as that's done, we'll be up and running. And hopefully that's the last of the glitches. So we got our fingers crossed. It's pretty impressive back end of that thing. Just to give you guys a little idea, this weekend, I'm going to fully unplug, walk away from the computer for at least 36 hours. The wife and I are taking the kids. You know, here in Hawaii, you can drive all day and someone up in your driveway. But I'm actually, we're going to go down to Waikiki, check into one of the local hotels, just spend an afternoon and a day and a day and evening and next day out at the pool, just hanging out, kicking back. And I'm looking forward to that and spending some time with the family. So send me an email this week and it's not going to get through to me. Hey, just do want to announce that this show is more than likely. We have a bunch of new listeners and some of you are actually driving down the highway right now or listening live, wherever it may be, because the Geek News Central podcast is going to be featured at least once a week, apparently, maybe twice a week, over on KYOU, the station in San Francisco. I actually had the station manager and some people from New York contact me, and they actually wanted the show up on the up on their, basically, their podcast-only station. So we're glad that we're getting exposure over there. And for those listeners, hey, welcome to our show. Welcome to our family. And hopefully this is the start of a, you know, basically a long run over there for us. Okay, the intro contest is going great. And I want to thank everyone that is submitting intros. Some of you guys are coming up with some pretty crazy stuff. I'm looking forward to, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go one more week on that because I have a lot of stuff that's, a lot of intros that are out. People are working on them. So we're going to go one more week. So probably a week from today, we may probably start playing those. So I'll let you guys vote on those. For those of you that had requested information on the Podcaster News Network, hey, you're going to get added to a mailing list probably Monday, so be prepared for that to come down. And just a few things from some of our people that listen to the show. I do want to say a thanks out to Dennis for the donation, and that is greatly appreciated. I do have a new application I'm trying out. It's called Hot Recorder, and we're going to use it this weekend when we do the Tech Podcast Roundup, the Roundtable, and we're going to try to record some Skype calls with that. I'll let you know how that goes. Okay, let's see here. I got some listener email to go through quickly, and then we're going to get right into the content. I'm going to try to hold to my golden rule of being into the good stuff here a little earlier than what we have been. Got an email from Michael, and he's basically a website designer. Michael, when you get your site up and you're ready to show it off to our listeners, send me another email, and I'll make the announcement on the show for you and get you a little free promo here. Hey, we have a winner for basically David, who is down in West Africa. Obviously, I can understand your situation not being able to order my book, so. David, send me your address, and what I will do is I'm going to send you a copy of Podcasting, the Do-It-Yourself Guide, and we will get that down to you as soon as possible, and I understand the concerns there, and I'm actually kind of scared to go to the post office and mail this one, but go ahead and send me your address, and congratulations on that. We'll be announcing another promotion for a copy of the book at the end of the show. I do want to thank Gene Lewis, who is actually, I don't know where he's actually located at, but he sent a real nice email. It basically warmed my heart. He's the guy that's getting ready to start doing a show himself, and he's got my book, and he's read it three times. So I'm really happy that he read it three times, and he's got some glowing reviews. And actually, his review is up at amazon.com/podcasting, so if you want to check his review of the book out. The gentleman that had the problems with the email from Comcast, it took 5 days, but his wife's email is back in action. So we're real happy that is solved. And Sam, I'm glad that you've got it back. Now, for all of you, being part of the internet means more than just surfing sites or downloading music. The perfect way to start is with your own .com name. And my friends at GoDaddy.com make it fast, fun, and affordable. Right now, .com names are just $3.99 when you purchase any other product. Plus, for being a listener of the show, you get an additional $5 off on any order of $30 or more. Just enter GNC Podcast. That's GNC, P PODCAST as your source code. For .coms, it's GoDaddy.com. Now, some of you have been asking me about some of the older promo codes. Hey, you're going to have to listen to the older shows. Okay, there's about 4 different promo codes out there right now, so you have to go digging through the other shows to find the other promo codes. And for the new listeners out there, there's more promo codes, good deals from GoDaddy.com. Thanks for GoDaddy being a sponsor. Okay, 10 minutes and 30 seconds. We're ready to rock and roll into the regular content for the night. And got a lot for you, a lot of cool stuff. And for those of you that are hardcore geeks out there, there's been an announcement today by PBS that they're going to be launching, check this out, Nerd TV. Now, Nerd TV is not going to be broadcast over traditional radios. A traditional TV station. It's going to be via the internet. So, beginning September 6th, PBS will make this available and exclusively over the internet. So, I'm going to be looking forward to watching Nerd TV. And of course, those of you that are familiar with Kringle, he is basically the brain behind this. So, it's going to be an hour program with the smartest, funniest, and sometimes nerdiest people on high tech. So I think that's going to be cool. And I just wonder how we can get on the nerd show. Would that be cool? Okay, but anyway, of course, all the articles I talk about tonight will be linked in the show notes, and you can check that out over at geeknewscentral.com. Steve Gilmore has a very poignant article. It's very short and sweet upon his posting at Ziff Davis that basically says, open, say, a me. And basically what that is he's making reference to bloggers that have RSS feeds that only have partial information in them. So he is encouraging a number of bloggers to have full RSS feeds. And what I mean by full RSS feeds is when you use a news aggregator like FeedDemon, or news crawler, whatever you may use to look at RSS feeds on people's websites, is that sometimes you only get 2 or 3 sentences. Well, at Geek News Central, you always get the full article. So he's saying, don't waste my time. Give me your full article. And he's calling out some of the, some very popular bloggers to basically say, hey, come on, let's get with the action. And if you don't, maybe I'm going to be switching you off. And that's a pretty strong comment by Steve, and I'm glad to see him asking for people to have full feeds on their websites. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with RSS, make sure that you can go on Google and search for Real Simple Syndication, or you can come over to my website, and you'll see a little button that says RSS. Look at that, and I'll have a link in the show notes to an application that I use to basically crawl websites for news articles. And I know that most of you are old pros on the show, so it goes without saying, so you guys all know what that's all about anyway. How many of you are familiar with the Internet Archive Wayback Machine? This is a website where you can basically go to it, you put in a URL of a website that you're familiar with, and it'll give you options on looking at that website from a recent past all the way back until years ago. So you basically make a selection on how far back you want to look. The website basically goes out and caches the majority of websites on the web. So it basically has a snapshot in time of that website's presence. Well, there was a lawsuit that was going on over a trademark, and basically the law firm used the Wayback Machine to dispel the plaintiff's argument, and to show that there was, basically show this guy's site from the way it was before. Well, apparently this guy wasn't real happy about that information being able to be displayed, and has actually sued the Wayback Machine. And he basically said it violates his copyrighted material, and goes on into why this shouldn't have been allowed to have been happen, and his site shouldn't have been indexed, etc. But, I think this is good that, you can basically look back at websites as they were in the past. And it's going to make people a little more careful on what they put on their websites. But, it is under threat with this lawsuit, and hopefully, the defense is able to keep it on the market and keep that website alive. You know, just because one company had a bad, you know, they were basically exposed and, you know, some claims were dismissed because of it. So let's keep our fingers crossed and make sure that the, and if we can do anything, we can support the effort to save the Internet Archive Wayback Machine. We'll let you know. All right. Obviously, the space shuttle did not get off the ground as planned on Tuesday. And basically, the NASA is saying that they are going to troubleshoot this fuel problem, this fuel sensor problem. Kind of reminds me, you know, I've been working in aviation for a number of years. There's always, from time to time, fuel sensor problems. And fuel sensor problems are just notoriously tricky. And I guess the scientists and the technicians there at NASA are scratching their heads a little bit on this one and have called in all the reserves and called in all of the contractors to help narrow down what's going on there. But they're saying that at the very, very earliest, it looks like Sunday before they may or may not be ready to try to launch again. And there is a launch window, I guess, starting sometime on Sunday. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully, you know, those guys are real smart over there. They'll get this thing figured out and get this fuel sensor repaired and get us back in space. But, you know, I kind of had to laugh just because of my experience in the past with fuel sensors on aircraft that, you know, just even the space shuttle has fuel sensor problems. So it's kind of comical on my end. Okay, there's a article in Business. Let's see here. I almost closed the page here. There's an article on Business Week Online that talks about finding a blog in a haystack. And, you know, earlier this week I had some problems with PubSub.com in that the keyword searches that I was using on that website were not updating. And I had actually sent a message to their tech support and had not gotten anything back. I blogged it. They were able to pick up that I was having some issues by basically they were searching on their own side for people talking about their service. And I got an email actually quite late at night from a technician saying, I found your problem and I fixed it. Now, imagine, think about that a little bit. That's customer service at its best, because even though the email kind of disappeared and something happened, and I don't know what happened with the email, and I'm not going to, but I think the cool thing is I put up a complaint or kind of put the issue up on my website and they were able to detect. You know, they don't know who I am, but their technicians, because they're watching for the word PubSub in their search results, were able to see my article. They went to my website and said, okay, this is, we know who this website owner is, looked me up in their database, went into my account and fixed my account, and then sent me an email back to the right email saying, hey, we fixed it. If you have any more problems, let us know, and will you please test our feedback email? I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But that kind of goes into this story on Business Week about talking about finding a blog in a haystack. And they kind of use the example of a Wall Street trader, you know, basically during his lunch break, or he's maybe have heard some hints on the floor of the stock exchange that something's going to be happening with a certain company. And he goes over to Technorati or a PubSub or some of those other search engines that really watch you know, basically what is going on in the blogosphere on an up-to-date or up-to-minute time frame, and they can go in and do keyword searches for topics that are being talked about, maybe a company that's getting ready to do something. So they kind of talked about that's how maybe traders are actually using these engines to be able to keep an eye on items that they're watching so that they can make good, sound trading moves. Now, what I thought was curious that all this week there's been talk on the weblogs about Technorati not keeping up with the searches, blog lines doing much better in actually tracking what's going on with blogs. So there is some concern out there, and you know it's not without its issues because of the scaling. You know, you think about all the millions of weblog posts that go on every day, and these companies are responsible for indexing this stuff almost immediately. I do know that, and I do agree that Technorati has been behind. I guess they're making every effort to catch up. I don't know why they're having so many issues. Hopefully they keep their eye on the eight ball. Now, as far as PubSub goes, obviously they were watching their space, and they did a good job of getting me back in business. Now, I don't use blog lines very often as an actual way to search for specific articles, and I'm going to have to get over there and check that out and see how that's done. But I'll have links in the show notes to all three of these companies that probably you all already use them already. But, and of course, I'll have the link to the Business Week article. Now, Engadget has a basically report saying that the Macs that are actually being farmed out to developers that have Intel chips in them are saying that they're just being absolutely blazingly fast. And check this out. They've sent out 3.6 gigahertz machines, Pentium 4s, with 1 gig of RAM and Intel 900 graphics media accelerators. They're fast, and basically they're booting into OS 10 in as quick as 10 seconds. Is that amazing? 10 seconds to boot up. You turn it on, and if my Windows machine could boot in 10 seconds, 10 seconds, I mean, more like 3 minutes. You know, and I even think the Mac Mini over here boots faster than the PC. And I will give Mac that. They do boot faster. But a 10-second boot time, wow, that's awesome. And they do say that it's running faster than those on the PowerPC boxes, and that HTML will render quicker. I guess we'll know a little bit more, maybe as some of these machines get into the hands of some of the testers, and we'll get some benchmarks out of them. But sounds to me like those of you that are Mac fans, you're looking for a major power increase, speed increase, when these new notebooks and PCs come out with the Intel chip inside. So, yeah, good move on Intel's part. Now, you know, I did hear some other rumor this week, basically on Apple, and the kind of some additional reasons why they may have moved to Intel. And I'm not going to speculate too much, except to say that, you know, they're positioning themselves in a way that's going to get them better value on certain chipsets that they're looking at, possibly for some new type of devices they're getting ready to release. So I'll let you think about that a little bit. Okay, Patch Tuesday has come and went, and of course Microsoft released a whole bunch of patches on Tuesday, so those of you that are running Windows XP need to make sure that if Auto Update has not already informed you that you've got updates, to go out and do a update on your PC. Now, along with that, and I actually heard this on a regular radio program that I caught while I was in the office today, and basically a lot of companies, Oracle, Apple, Mozilla, Sun, Cisco, has all basically joined Microsoft on the patch train, and I've heard that IT administrators have been absolutely scrambling this week to try to patch all of these different operating systems and devices. Because of this, and they all basically released on Patch Tuesday. Now, my suggestion is, why don't these companies, if they're going to release on a Patch Tuesday, why don't they do it on a different Tuesday than the one Microsoft releases on? I guess all these companies did this on the same day, and so, you know, if you hear your IT administrator saying, hey, I'm busy, I'm up to my ears in patches, that may be exactly what they're talking about, and give them a little pat on the back and say thanks, and understand that these type of things, when they release patches like this, is a pretty big deal, and in that it does take a lot of work to get them deployed to your desktops and your offices and where you work. And if you're a one-man show and you're doing your own, you probably already know that already. Okay, ICANN has taken a close look and is looking at domain hijacking a little closer now, and they're going to be coming out with a report. Hopefully it comes out with some new rules and some sort of the new implementations or some more fail-safe methods to keep domains from being hijacked or stolen from people that, you know, by hackers and crackers and people that are trying to score domain names that they should not have. And there's even some discussion about who should run the DNS. That's the domain name service. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on with the ICANN. It looks like they're going to come up with, initially, there's going to be 10 fixes for hijacking. And they're going to range from more public awareness and domain name emergency hotlines to potentially stricter verification of the identity of domain holders and better record keeping of registrations, which makes sense. Now, you know, a lot of this stuff should be able to be taken care of administratively. And of course, if you've got domains, make sure that your host has a locking feature, that you actually have to be logged in to your control panel on your domain host to be able to unlock that domain before any changes are made to it. That will allow you to make sure that your domain is not hijacked. And if your host doesn't offer that kind of a service where you can lock the domain, you need to ask them why. So that's the register. That's not your hosting provider. That's the register of your domain services. Okay, Verizon, and I'm kind of like, this is one for the people here, okay? Verizon is unhappy that it has customers. And why do I say that? Well, they have a broadband service that you can pay $80 a month for. It's via an EVDO card. And basically, it's a way to get broadband service via your cell phone or where, or other, you know, even with your computer. But a company has created a box to be able to plug that EVDO card into, and it basically ties it to a Wi-Fi device so that more than one person can share that single EVDO cards. Now, here's the here's something that is basically is what Verizon is saying is the premise is one person buys an air card and one person uses the service, not an entire neighborhood, said Jeffrey Nelson, executive director for corporate communications at Verizon. Giving things away for free just doesn't work anymore. It never did. So is $80 free for broadband? You know, if I'm going to pay $80 for a broadband service via Verizon and buy this card, you know, and then some company is going to come out and enable me to plug that card into a device that allows other people in maybe my office or here at my house to be able to use that service at the same time. You know, Verizon, you know, go pack sand, folks. Go pack sand, you know, because let's be honest, you know, $80 for broadband service, that's, first of all, that's highway robbery in the first place. And, but I think this is a technology is overcoming the limitations of what services are trying to limit. You know, you basically, they're trying to limit it. You know, instead of you sell one to me, send one to my wife, sell one to my kid, you know, and then I got $240 in broadband charges every month versus one for 80 and I can have everyone in the house on it or in my office, whatever it may be. So it's something that they have to live with. The technology is going to outpace some of the product offerings. And I'm sure they're going to react and try to block it or do something stupid, but we'll see what happens. Okay. I'm sure y'all have heard that Apple had an amazing, quarter and, their biggest ever overall revenues were $3.5 billion, up 75%. And they are a warning that it could be down, I guess, the next couple of quarters based upon people waiting for the PCs with the Intel chip to come out. But, you know, there was some doom and gloom. And even I had said it that probably Apple would see some decline in sales. But it's not so. But I think their iPod division probably really helped them keep these sales high. But imagine that, $3.5 billion this quarter. That's pretty good. And we'll see how it goes in the future with their earnings. Okay, there's an article over on Microsoft Watch saying that Atom is coming to Longhorn. And for those of you that are not familiar with what Atom is another syndication format, basically similar to RSS with a little bit more flexibility and a little more features. You know, I'm not a super huge Atom fan. But the RSS team at Microsoft has basically announced that Atom is going to be in Longhorn along with RSS version 0.9, 1.0, and 2.0. Now, I've been very public in saying that, you know, I don't think that Atom is everything that it's made up to be. You know, a lot of people have different opinions, and I respect those. But, you know, I look at the number of people coming into my website looking at the aggregator data via RSS, and you know, it runs about 97% those that are using the RSS feeds and about 3% that are using the Atom feeds. Now, you know, Atom has its advantages and so does RSS. So, but it's good to see that Longhorn's going to support both. And I'm sure that's going to make the folks in the Atom development community pretty happy. Okay, TechDirt has an article and it's labeled Takes One to Know One. And it's a good slam on the RIAA. And I'm going to quote some of this here. The RIAA says commercial piracy is increasingly being dominated by organized crime syndicates that are establishing low-margin, high-volume businesses. So basically what the RIAA is doing is sending its own team of investigators out and about, and they're kicking the doors in on companies and seizing, sounds like they're going to seize raw materials. Now, you're familiar with the MPAA had done the same thing, and in which they had raided a legitimate business by mistake. So we'll see what the RIAA does, and they go into a little more depth in saying that they wouldn't be surprised if they don't try to stop the sale of blank CDs. Good luck, I don't think it would ever happen, or to at least put a prohibitive tax on them, which I could see that happening more. You know, our friends up in Canada pay a tax on every CD. Basically, it's a royalty tax for and media. Basically, they automatically assume that you're going to be copying either video or music to those CDs, even though I have very few CDs with any music on them. It's all on my hard drive now. But anyway, it looks like the RIAA is going to be focusing in on syndicated crime organizations. I don't know how they're going to do that without, they've already called all of us crooks, because they've gone out and they continue to sue individuals for sharing music via P2P networks. So I guess this doesn't surprise me. We'll see what kind of success they have or don't, or I know I don't really want to be going up against any syndicated crime circuits. That would not be fun. I'll leave that up to people that are leave that up to the police. Okay, linking to unauthorized MP3s are now illegal in Australia. Well, at least one company, or at least an ISP, has gotten whacked by a judge down there that's basically saying that, they can't do that. And the reason, I guess, for that ruling was that the ISP was seen as inducing people to infringe on copyright. And kind of it was a way to invite people to use the internet service provider service. So I hope that this does not spread and does not become a decision for everyone in Australia. And how are they going to stop that? You look at all the sites that link to illegal MP3 files. There's probably a billion links out there to different media that's on the internet. How are they going to shut that down? It's going to be absolutely impossible. But that's what it is. It's what they did in Australia to a owner and, I guess, employees of an ISP. So we'll see what happens and how much they're going to be in jail, or if they're going to have a fine, or what's going to go on with that. But that's what's happened down in Aussie land. Now, we've talked recently we've been talking a lot about hard drive failures. And I know everyone has a sob story. And if you haven't had a sob story about losing data from a crashed hard drive, you will. Every one of us will face that uses PCs. And I think, they always come at the worst possible time, but there are companies out there that will recover your data. Now, there's a New York Times article, and I'm reluctant to put New York Times articles up on the website because this article will disappear within a few days. It'll go behind the New York Times firewall, and unless you're a subscriber and you have to log in to get to it. But I do want to link this up, so you're going to have to look at this info quick. But there is a company called Drive Savers, and also I think there's another one called OnTrack. They are firms that are specialized in recovering digital files. It does not come cheap, folks. So, if you lose that hard drive that has 6 years of digital images on it of your long-lost pet, or, that first-time prom date of your daughter or something to that effect, some of those pictures that you never want to lose, it goes south with a hard drive. When a hard drive dies, you can fork out your credit card and pay anywhere from, several hundred dollars to upwards of $3,000 or $4,000, depending on how big the hard drive is. So back up, folks, and back up some more, okay? Make sure that you've got your data out there and saved. But if you do not listen to the geek here and you have a hard drive go south, All is not lost. Just have to get your Visa card out and send this, send that hard drive to Drive Savers and to OnTrack. And they're having a pretty good success rate. About 90% of the data can now be salvaged, from 85 to 90% of the drives. So, good news on that part in case you have a hard drive going south. And, you know, I talk about that and I think I've mentioned that I have a laptop that's been pretty sick and it works real good for a while. Then all of a sudden it starts acting funny. I told the wife tonight, there is no choice. I got to tear this thing apart, get the hard drive out of it, get the duplicator out, get a new drive, get the drive duplicated, and get a new drive in this thing because I'm backing this thing up twice a day now because I'm so scared this thing is gonna die on me. So I've got one. It's about ready to go. So that's, I guess, why I've been paying attention to a lot of this stuff lately. Okay, have any of you heard of a new application called Virtual Audio Cable? And this is something that I just found tonight, and it kind of reminds me of some Mac tools that's basically called Line In, Sunflower, Soundflower Forge, something like that. It's a way that on a PC that you can do some recording. It's a low-end application. It's an audio encoder application that encodes streams coming from a sound card. Looks like it's pretty cool. I'm going to have to check it out. It's in beta, even though it says version 3.1. And it's been out quite a while. So maybe they've made some updates to it. And I think what I'll do is, we've been trying to get our arms around recording Skype calls in a very high quality way. And this may be another way. It's, you know, a lot of these applications use so much overhead. In that they're tasking the processor so hard that they don't work real well with while a Skype call is going on. And many times what we're doing is using a second computer through an elaborate patching system to actually record Skype calls effectively without having degradation actually on the Skype call that's in progress. So, I'll see what I can find out about this virtual audio cable. Okay, Nick Bradbury over at FeedDemon has released FeedDemon 1.6 Beta 1. He did that on Tuesday, July 12th, and it looks like it's a real rough beta, but those of you that are registered users of FeedDemon version, actually registered versions of FeedDemon, can download this beta. Put a link up in the show notes. I know that I'm actually going to go ahead and install that tonight and see what he's got in store for us. And I'll give you an update next week. Okay, there was a kind of a disturbing, it's not a disturbing article. You know, I'm an adult, I can handle it. But I'm a big fan of O'Reilly Developers Weblog. And I found a article on here today. It says, it's basically titled, Funniest Slash Dot Comment Ever. And I'll be very honest with you. We keep this show G. It's educational for those of you that have kids listening to this show. And I recommend this website all the time. And I'm going to have tonight to caution you if you're going to be, reviewing or, you know, I'm not going to be linking this article up just for the simple fact it has material on the post that is inappropriate for minors. And I think that the thing that aggravates me here a little bit about this article, and I think O'Reilly should be ashamed of themselves, especially Derek Sivers, who actually did the article. You know, he quoted something that came out of Slashdot that is definitely not appropriate to be on what I would consider a website that is highly technical in nature, has a lot of great information usually on a day-to-day basis. You know, this is very irresponsible of O'Reilly to allow this type of an article to be on here. And I'm sad to see it, and hopefully I never see it again. But those of you that agree with my thought process on this, I recommend that you go over, search for funniest/dot comment ever, go to that article, put a comment to the editor, and complain, because I don't think it's cool. You know, we're all adults, but let's be honest here. You know, here you've got a website that is supposed to be focused on passing good technical information, and you see this garbage. I don't agree. So, I guess that's a little rant for the evening. Let's see here. A couple of things I want to talk about. Oh, I got some links, and actually one of our a longtime listeners, and her name is Dorothy, turned me on. And actually, it's kind of funny that she had sent me this email, and I had actually seen this website almost within about an hour before she sent me the email, and it was completely through unrelated look. But there's a website that's called Media Artist Secrets, and it's at www.fmstudio.com. I'll have the link in the show notes. It's a podcast, and it's also got information on media, you know, doing stuff in Photoshop. Totally awesome site, totally awesome show. Highly recommend this one. This one here definitely is, if you are into doing media stuff and editing photos, you're going to definitely want to add this show to your listening list, because, I'll be honest with you, I am not a graphical person, but he's got 26 or 27 shows, and it's just like getting free Photoshop training from an expert. So I'm going to go down and I'm going to pull every one of them. And as I get time, I'm going to listen to them while I'm basically working in Photoshop, so that I can get clued in on how to use this application a little better. And another reader sent, and he's got the nickname Rainbow Fly, sent me an article on he sent me the one on a Logitech product. And I think I've seen this before, but Logitech has a wireless headphone for the iPod. It's relatively expensive. It's $149, but it uses digital wireless technology. You plug the little sensor into the top of the iPod, and then you have a wireless headset. So I'm curious if any of you have this headset out here, any of you hardcore iPod users that have this headset, why don't you drop me an email, geek@geeknewscentral.com, and let me know what you think about this product, okay? How's the sound quality? And how far away it says you can go 30 feet away, but typically when I hear someone say that you can go 30 feet away from something, it usually starts fading out at 15. So I'd be curious to see how far out this thing actually works and what the sound quality is. Okay, here's another article, and you almost hate to say it because it's every day there's something new. But a medical firm's files with personal data has been stolen. This is out of the Arizona Republic, dated July 13th. And it says the personal information of 57,000 Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona customers were stolen from a Phoenix-based managed care company. And basically what happened was the managed care company was broken into, and the thieves actually stole the safe. They took the whole safe. They didn't worry about breaking the safe. They just carted the safe off. You know, there's always two ways to skin a cat, you know. Cricks are going to say, hey, we don't want to make a lot of noise in here. We'll load this thing up into the car and or truck or whatever it may have been, and we'll haul this thing to a place where we can take the hinges off without getting caught. But anyway, apparently 57,000 records were in there, along with all the good data, social security numbers, addresses, policy numbers, the whole nine yards. Okay, this week for our book promotion giveaway, since we are going to be on KYOU, if you are a KYOU listener and you would like a book on podcasting, the do-it-yourself guide that I wrote, what I want you to do, send me an email to geek@geeknewscentral.com. Tell me exactly where you listen to, when and where you listen to the show, and we'll take a sampling of all those that send an email in, and I'll pick one of those out. But you need to tell me the time that you listen to the show live, and where you're at, and from that we'll pick a winner. So that's what the promotion will be for this week, and we'll give a book away to a KYOU listener. Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. You can, of course, reach me at geek@geeknewscentral. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. We want to thank, we want to hope that the KYOU listeners got something out of the show. Make sure you send us feedback, things that you want to hear us talk about. If you've got a news item or a tip or something juicy, make sure you send that to me also. Until then, we will see you next Tuesday. And aloha, folks, and thanks for being here, and stay subscribed.